The Australian Open on In Play Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Australian Open Tennis Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner here in the studio, ready to look ahead to Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova on the women's side in the women's final on Saturday morning UK time, and the men's final, eagerly anticipated clash between Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray on Sunday morning. It is myself, Dave Kellner, here in the studio, and joining me on the line now, tennis commentator Nick Lester is here to preview these finals. Good afternoon, Nick.
Good afternoon, Dave.
How are you, sir? I know you've been in Los Angeles watching a lot of this tennis over the past fortnight. It's been a cracking event.
Yeah, it has. I think actually, in many ways, the first week was kind of better than the second week. The second week, kind of, I think the matches have just dipped to touch. I think we had some good stories, obviously, in week number one. But, you know, the cream of the crop's come through. I did think Murray was going to have a good major, I have to say. I thought he was ready for one, and he stepped up. And I think it was, you know, as I said, whatever happens, I think, in the final, for him, from his perspective, it's been a good couple of weeks.
Let's get stuck into these finals then, Nick. And we'll start off with Serena Williams versus Maria Sharapova in the women's final on Saturday morning. Serena is 2-5. Maria Sharapova in the market 2-1. Serena Williams came through her semi-final against Madison Keys 7-6, 6-2, and Maria Sharapova came through against Ekaterina Makarova 6-3, 6-2. The head-to-head very interesting in this matchup, Nick. Serena Williams has won the last 15 meetings, only dropping 3 sets in the process. Those are incredible numbers when you consider Sharapova's consistency throughout her career.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's extraordinary, really, isn't it? I mean, not even as if she's kind of making any kind of inroads or impacts. You know, you look at the scores, they're all fairly one-sided throughout. And the reasons for that primarily are two reasons. One is the serve. Serena Williams is able to dictate Sharapova's serve first and second a little more, so Sharapova's not winning as many points off the serve. And second is mobility. It's a simple fact that Serena is able to move better than Sharapova when on the offense. Serena's on the offense, Sharapova doesn't turn as many points around in her favor. And that has been the reasons why. Something tells me, though, that this could be a little different, this final. I think it's been a little while since they've played. It's been nearly a year. I talked to you a lot about Sven Gronefeld and his influence on Sharapova. And I just think we're starting a little bit of a fresh slate here. I don't think this is going to be quite as one-sided as perhaps people suggest.
Who's impressed you most in the lead-up to this final? Serena Williams dropped a couple of sets in the championship so far to Elena Svitolina and Garbiñe Muguruza. Sharapova in the last four rounds since that real scrap against the qualifier, Panova in round number two, she's been immaculate, really, in the championship.
Yeah, and I think both have had relatively tough draws, to be honest, Dave. I mean, if you look at it, Muguruza, you talked about her. We highlighted her, Svitolina as well. Don't forget, Serena Williams was down set points against Fonareva as well. She's got better and better. And I think from Sharapova's perspective, as you say, there is always one match at a Grand Slam, as we always say this, the hump match. And it was the second round match for Sharapova. She was able to get through it, and she's improved thereafter. But I think both have had tough matches. I mean, Peng Shuai, she beat comfortably in the round of 16. Bouchard, 3-2, she beat her. That was a nice marker. And then Makarova, she obviously owns. So to answer your question, I think Serena Williams has been the slightly more impressive, I think, just in the way she's been able to. For me, she just feels a little more battle-hardened of the two. But there's very little to choose between the two, in my money.
And you mentioned before about this match being, in your opinion, a little bit different to the matches we've seen before between the two players. Does Sharapova have to change things tactically to be able to compete against Serena Williams?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, you'd have to be daft not to suggest that, because obviously the head-to-head reads as such. But, you know, I do think, and at the risk of repeating myself, I do think Sven Gronefeld had a really positive influence on Sharapova. I think he has had a really, he's such a great tactician. He understands the game so well. And I think he's really been able to help Sharapova in that regard. Listen, she's not going to come out here and serve and volley and change things up. She's going to look to dominate. But you know, as I say, the big factor for me is she has to make a lot of first serves in this match, Dave. She has to serve smartly because you know that she's not going to get too many chances off the return because of the way Serena serves. She has to serve smartly to set up the point in order to get on top. I think the reason I feel perhaps that there's been quite a lot of water under the bridge here, as I said, the last time I played was Miami, and I think that was when Sven had just taken over. So there is a bit of a fresh chance here for Sharapova. I think there is a bit of value looking at the odds. I feel my heart says 2-1 Serena here. I don't think this is going to be quite as one-sided as people are saying, despite the head-to-head. I really feel Sharapova's got a genuine shot, but it is obviously you have to go back and say that Serena, if she plays her best, Dave, is going to win this match.
And that is a big if, because prior to this event, she was a little bit out of form at the Hopman Cup. This is something she's referenced during the championship as well, saying that she didn't expect these sorts of performances she's producing. So if her level does dip, and it's conceivable it could dip in this final, there will be an opening for Sharapova.
Completely agree with you. And it should be said as well this morning that she cancelled her practice session, Serena Williams, released a statement in Melbourne saying that she wasn't 100% fit or healthy, then 4 or 5 hours later came back to practice for 45 minutes. So that's a little bit of a concern as well. I mean, obviously the fact she did come back to practice suggests she is okay, but she did say that she wasn't quite right this morning. So, you know what? I think of as an outsider here, I think Sharapova is a bit of value. I genuinely do. I think despite the head-to-head, I think she's playing great. She was my pick at the start of the tournament as well, so I certainly wouldn't sway from that. But Serena has been battle-hardened. And if you look at her defeats in majors over the years, they've come genuinely early rounds, Dave. They've come in the 16, the round of 8. They've come early doors, not in finals. She's got a great record in finals and a great record against Sharapova. So I think you'd have to be a little crazy to go against her. But I do feel, as I say, that if you're looking for a bit of value here, 2-1 would probably be where my money will go.
Superb. Serena Williams to win it 2-1, 29-10. We're on the right side of things pre-tournament, as you mentioned as well, going with Sharapova. She was 5-1 pre-tournament, 2-1 in this final against Serena. Just before we move on to the men's then, Nick, you mentioned that the first week of the, maybe both sides, the women's and the men's, were more intriguing. Who caught your eye in that opening week on the women's side? For future reference, Nick.
I think Garbi Muguruza, for me, I said to you at the start of the tournament, she was my player that one's going to make an impact this year. I think she's definitely going to make an impact this year, no doubt about it. I think she's on my upside for the season. I think there's a couple of other players as well. Jeannie Bouchard made a quarterfinal run here. I think she's going to get better and better. Very disappointed with Simona Halep. That's the one player I was really disappointed with. Her meek exit, it should be said, to Makarova in the quarterfinals, was majorly disappointing for me. I really thought she was going to make a run here. And she's got a bit of work to do, I think, mentally more than anything else, to try and keep pace with the rest now.
Thank you. On to the men's then. Let's get stuck in. Novak Djokovic versus Andy Murray on Sunday morning. Djokovic is 4-9. Andy Murray in the market at 7-4. Before we talk about this matchup, reflection on the semi-final performances. We're recording this at 1:30, so there's not been a lot of time to digest Djokovic's win against Wawrinka. Five-setter, again, another long tussle between the two. Djokovic eventually coming through 6-6 in the fifth set. What did you make to that match, Nick?
Poor quality, very poor quality, Dave, from both men, really. It was a very underwhelming 3 or 4 hours of tennis. I must say, I thought the unforced errors were way too many. You see Djokovic make 49 unforced errors. I mean, you look back at his numbers for the rest of the week, Dave. I've just had a look at them, actually. They're 18, 19, 20, 49 in this match alone. And I do think that was partly because he is so aware of what Wawrinka can do to him and the way he can hurt him. So I think he was probably a little bit nervy, a little bit tight today. But I think if you're looking at the two semifinals, Dave, for me, Murray, by far and away the better performance. I mean, it wasn't even close. I think he looked solid, as he has done all week. So no comparison for me, but I think there's a few more sides to the story than just the semi-finals.
And that performance from Andy Murray against Thomas Burdick, watched that game a couple of days ago. It was an incredible performance from Andy Murray. The way he rebounded from losing that first set tiebreak, there was definitely a little bit of extra tension out there, wasn't there, Nick?
Yeah, there was. And, you know, I think Murray said it perfectly when he said, I think the first set, it just took him a little while to adjust to Burdick's ball, because we talked about Wawrinka, how big he hits it, Dave. Burdick hits a very, very hard, heavy ball that doesn't divert. It's very tough to kind of get a feel for that straight away. And I think Murray struggled with that in the early stages, but he rebounded quickly. And, you know, this is what separates, this is what we talk about consistently, has separated the top four from the Burdicks, who are the best of the rest. Burdick can do it for a set and a half, Dave. He can do it for a set. But, you know, you look at the score, 6-7, 6-love, 6-3. Well, where did Burdick go in set two and three? You know, yeah. Where did he go? He's not able to maintain it, Dave. And that is the concern with him. That's what you've got to do, because the top four have set the bar so high, and Burdick's still got some improving to do.
Do you think he changed things up tactically after that first set? Do you think he became more aggressive, Andy Murray?
Yeah, definitely. I think he had to. But I also think Burdick, that first couple of games of the second set where Burdick just didn't produce, allowed Murray to do that. And, you know, there's no doubt, I've said it a couple of times already this fortnight, Murray's hitting his forehand as well as I've seen him. Now, this is Wimbledon 2013 forehand again. We're in this league of the aggression he's playing with, which is so positive to see. The mind, I think, is almost where it was then as well. So, no doubt, this is Murray playing very close to his best again.
Yeah, it was good to see, or good to hear, in his post-match interview him credit Amélie Mauresmo with some of the work that she's done with him, and promote women in sport as well as coaches.
Listen, you know as well as I do, Andy Murray takes no greater pleasure in life than proving people wrong. and that's exactly what he was doing in saying that, you know. And you know, they have done a lot of work in the off-season. You know, I, for one, was a little probably questionable. I think plenty of others were questionable about it. But you're right. I mean, it's obviously worked well. I do think you have to say as well that, you know, I do think the role of the coach these days at the top level in tennis is a little bit overhyped. I mean, they are adding 1%, 1.5%. It's not a lot they're adding, Dave. You know, Murray's game is always there. It's just a question of her getting the most out of him. And that's obviously what Lendl did so well. And now, obviously, it's working well, it seems, with Amélie Mauresmo.
Let's talk about this matchup then, Nick. Price is here with William Hill. Novak Djokovic 4-9. Andy Murray 7-4. 31 markets on the website ahead of this one. It's a matchup that Djokovic has had the best of over the years, but in Slam finals, 2-2, Djokovic has won both their meetings here at the Australian Open. But Murray, his two Slam wins have come against Novak Djokovic. That's something that I think Murray will draw on in the final, possibly, Nick.
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, Dave, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, let's strip this down. They're both very similar players. We know that. They're both ultimately defensive geniuses, I think you can call that. They probably move the two best athletes I think the game has at the moment, and I include Nadal in that. I think both of them move as well as anybody. Surface-wise, I think it's a 50-50 shout. I think both enjoy the surface. You know, their records speak for themselves here in Australia. I do, you know, if you just pick the bones out of the head-to-head, it's tough to look away from the fact that Djokovic, Dave, has won the last seven meetings on hard courts. That's a fairly telling statistic. You know, you have to go back to 2011, I think it is, or early 2012, for the last time that Murray beat Djokovic on a hard court, which does rather make you sit up and suggest that Djokovic has been doing something a little better than him. I mean, you look back at the meetings last year, Paris, Beijing, US Open, when they played. They played four times last year. Djokovic beat him comfortably on all four occasions on hard. Yes, Murray's a different player for now. But I just, for me, looking at those numbers and looking at the head-to-heads, the way Djokovic played today, he's not going to play like that again, I'm telling you. There's no way Novak's going to come out and play poorly against Murray. I think he likes the matchup. That's why I, just for the moment, lean with Djokovic.
Djokovic to win it at 4-9. Andy Murray is the outsider at 7-4. What do you think Murray will do tactically in this match? Do you think he will be as aggressive in this match as he was against Thomas Burdick, particularly in sets 2, 3, and 4?
Yes, I do. I think he certainly will try to be. Whether he can or not, I don't know. Obviously, you're talking about a very different defender in Djokovic. So it's all very well us saying, well, he's got to attack Djokovic, because when he attacks Burdick, he doesn't get the same response on the other side of the net. You're talking about an athlete, a different athlete, very different athlete in Djokovic, as we know. His mobility is going to see him turn a lot of points around. But at the same time, I think, if you know, from Murray's perspective, I'd like to see him use the slice a little bit, try and bring Djokovic forward, mix the pace up. this has been as good as of six matches for me from Murray for a long time. I mean, Burdick, Kyrgios, Dimitrov, he beat obviously in the round of 16. It's interesting as well, if you look at Djokovic's matchups, because people, you know, certainly I saw a couple of suggestions today that he wasn't playing that great. But I think if you look at the players he's played, Dave, he's played Wawrinka, Rajanic, Muller and Verdasco. Four players there who don't give you a lot of rhythm. I mean, Rajanic doesn't give you a lot of rhythm. Muller, a lefty, big serving lefty. I don't think Djokovic has really felt like he's been able to play his best tennis. And that's another reason why I'm just slightly in his corner here, because I think against Murray, he feels as though the matchup that's coming at him is a little more comfortable.
Serve is going to be very important, isn't it, as well? We seem to discuss this on every single Slam podcast, but Andy Murray's second serve is definitely a weakness, something that Nick Kyrgios couldn't take advantage of. But you'd imagine that Novak Djokovic he'll be jumping all over that second serve. Still a real weak point in Andy Murray's game.
It is. And you know, we always talk about that 50% barometer. It's that 50% barometer. If Murray's up at 50% or above, generally, he's going to beat Djokovic. But if he's below, not so good. But again, you know, you just take a look at the Wimbledon final. In fact, I was just looking at the Wimbledon final, the numbers there. Murray's second serve points won were actually only 42% in that match. So he was a little lower, but obviously on a grass court, you can probably get away with it a little bit more. It is. I don't think it should be that overstated, because I don't think Djokovic's second serve is probably a world-class either. It's world-class, of course, but it's not in that top three or four, I don't think. Djokovic seems to have been varying his serve a little bit in this tournament, which has been significant. He certainly seems to have been trying to move the ball out wide a little bit more. I just think overall, I think my feeling here is that I think it's easy to get sucked into Djokovic's performance today. I saw a lot of people getting very critical of him. And you know what? When it really came to shove today in the fifth set, he battened down the hatches against Wawrinka. He went really solid, didn't make any errors, and played his best set, I think, of the match in that fifth set. So it was a slightly strange performance today. I don't think we're going to get that on Sunday.
Okay, Djokovic to win the final. What scoreline, Nick?
I really can't see it being straight. I just don't see that. It wouldn't surprise me if we were talking five again here, Dave. I mean, this is potential has four and a half hours. I seem to say that every time we talk about these two, but it does, because you have to go back to the Grand Slam matches they've played. They're both physically very, very strong, as we say. Both like to make a lot of balls, don't give away much in the unforced errors count. So I'm actually going to go five here. I'm going to go Djokovic all the way in five sets.
And Novak Djokovic to win it in five sets is 5-1. I suppose Murray will be hoping Djokovic turns in the same performance as he did when Murray beat him at Wimbledon. That would be nice for Andy Murray, because a lot was made of that matchup, Nick, and how Murray won it in straight sets and was absolutely incredible. That was one of Djokovic's worst ever performances in slam tennis, wasn't it?
Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree. And I think I don't see him putting in that sort of performance, I must say, despite the fact he hasn't played his best tennis so far at this tournament. You know, I think it's easy, just to finish off, I think it's easy to look at these two matchups and say, who's been the better player at this tournament? And it's hard to go away from saying it's Murray.
Yeah.
You know, you have to look at it, Dave. And I think, Murray, over the six matches so far, has been the more impressive player. But I think to look at the big picture and look at them head-to-heads, go a little deeper into it, it's very tough to go away from Djokovic.
Superb. Thank you, Nick. Thanks for your company over the course of this championship, and we'll catch up again very soon.
Pleasure, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.